I just want to talk.
There you go.
Here.
Well, folks, hopefully you enjoyed a great dinner and dessert. Can't hear? Folks, hopefully you've enjoyed a great dinner and dessert. We'll get the festivities going here. Mr. Mayor wanted me to give a public service announcement starting June 11th. Those that go to Washington, D.C. from Colorado Springs do not need to go through Denver, because direct service from D.C. to Dulles starts. However, Mr. Mayor needs some feedback if DTS does not give the Frontier Airline parrot, and then he'll work through that. But that's an important thing. Thanks, Mr. Mayor, for what you're doing on the airline business out of Colorado Springs. So NORAD, U.S. NORTHCOM, is a binational command, i.e. United States and Canada, that defends North America 365, 24/7. And the American public takes that for granted. And it's these senior leaders here and these folks here that we're about to nominate an award that do it every day, both in Building 2 at Peterson Air Force Base and in Cheyenne Mountain and the other part of the operation there for NORAD NORTHCOM. Why is that important? Because that provides the core capability for detection and defense. In today's world, the combatant commands aren't separate silos of excellence, because an incident that happens in Iran and North Korea will affect, in this case, PACOM, NORTHCOM, UCOM, in many respects. and potentially even AFRICOM. So every day there's surprises, right? And General Robinson, General Hoover get to deal with North Korea on a daily basis. But we've got Iran, Russia, that are all actors that continually create history that is not predictable or static. So daily history hangs on a hinge in today's world. And the bottom line is, us as a binational command, we have to be better than anybody else. You know, in the terrorism business, we have to be right every time. They only have to be lucky once. And we need support from Congress, both at the state or at the federal level and at the state level from our legislatures and within each service, that culminates in the case of missile defense with the Missile Defense Agency in Iran, Syria. And that's absolutely critical. Most recently, this past Tuesday, a successful test, a GBI intercept of an ICBM. And Ricky was there at Vandenberg as part of the team. And this was truly an MDA, a NORAD, NORCOM, and an Iran agency effort and success that has to continue. So I'll now introduce Major General Coates, our binational partner and NORAD Director of Operations from the Royal Canadian Air Force. Major General Coates is a helicopter pilot by trade, but has done some pretty amazing things from Bosnia, Afghanistan, special operations, the AOR that I came from, Africa. He worked with the French in Congo. He's also been at First Air Force, the Deputy Commander for Continental Region, NORAD, at Tyndall Air Force Base, Florida. In the fight on terror, he's been the JTF commander for the Canadian forces at Kandahar in Afghanistan and established Chinook capability to be part of the coalition effort there in Afghanistan. He has completed the Canadian Forces Land Component Commander colleges. He actually went to U.S. Air Force Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, and has done numerous colleges in Canada. Truly an asset to the NORAD NORCOM team, Sir Major General Coates.
I need that little box brought back. Your Honor, Mr. Olson, generals, distinguished guests, well, what a pleasure to be here. You know, as a Canadian, I get constantly amazed by some of the opportunities and the things that happened in my military career, and this is just another one where I sort of pinch myself and go, is this really happening? As I get to, you know, mingle with and engage with so many amazing people who have such interesting histories and stories to tell. And so thank you for sharing this evening with allowing me to be part of your evening tonight. On behalf of Commander NORAD, I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation to Mr. Allison and his entire team at the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance for hosting us this evening. It's a terrific opportunity to represent, it's a terrific opportunity to represent NORAD this evening at the 2017 Missile Warning and Defender of the Year ceremony. It's truly humbling. It's amazing to honor those military and civilian professionals from both Canada and the United States who sit the watch, as mentioned, 24/7, 365. They're the ones that we're here to celebrate, to pay our deep respects, and to a few standouts to present our sincere congratulations. You know, North American Aerospace Defense Command will be celebrating our 60th anniversary next year. And it's unique from any other military command in the world. From its inception, NORAD has remained a truly binational command, the only binational command in the world. My boss, General Robinson, is a United States Air Force officer. Working for me is a U.S. Air Force Brigadier General. I got both U.S. and Canadian colonels and a large staff with members from both countries that make up the NORAD Operations Directorate. were tightly integrated with the purpose of defending North America against air and space threats to our homelands. But what really makes us unique? Other nations have fought together, but our nations have stood the watch together for 59 years. The Cold War did not remain cold by accident. NORAD provided the architecture of deterrence backed by intense binational engagement and political resolve in both of our nations. Both of our great nations. We'll serve together as long as those, as long as our nations continue to benefit from our extensive security partnership. Well, the world has changed over the last 59 years, and it continues to change today. I think we heard some mention of that. As NORAD was founded in response to a Cold War threat to deter a symmetric, or what we call a traditional threat. And while we evolved during that Cold War period, adjusting to new Soviet capabilities, it was at the end of the Cold War and with the 9/11 attack on the U.S. that NORAD's focus shifted as the U.S. and Canada tackled the emerging challenge of civilian aircraft used as weapons against us, an asymmetric threat. Today, NORAD must be postured to handle both symmetric and asymmetric threats to North America. Based on advancing capabilities and threats and changes throughout the world, NORAD must continue to evolve as well. To do so will require the types of professionals we're honoring here tonight. Our goal is to ensure we are prepared to defend our homelands well into the future. Continued effective deterrence requires the right equipment, the right technical solutions, and realistic training. And we require world-class command and control so timely decisions can be passed. Much needs to be done if we hope to build on the success we've shared for the past six decades. And the business of deterrence is to make the perception of any benefit of war too costly for those who may seek to do us harm. So all of this requires people. And we lead people, but we manage equipment. Tonight, we recognize the people who inspire, who challenge the status quo, who make those around them better. They make us better. We come together tonight in recognition of past accomplishment, but to also identify what we should aspire to. Recognizing and rewarding excellence is critical to organizational success. It reminds us that we are surrounded by those who make us better professionals and better people. In closing, I'd like to thank MDAA for hosting us this evening. My congratulations to all the award winners and nominees. Our mission is not an easy task, and I thank each of you in this room for what you do to defend North America. And just that amazement that I had that when I opened my remarks as we're here tonight, and to think that you know, this sacred trust that we have day in and day out, and each of us carry that very humbly, very, very proudly, quietly, day in, day out, so that the people of both of our nations can carry on securely in what they do. And so to each of you tonight, thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Major Coates. So now I'd like to introduce the NORAD Officer Award winner, Lieutenant Colonel Schwab, front and center. Lieutenant Colonel Timothy M. Schwab, United States Air Force, is a 17 Delta IV Yankee Cyberspace Network Operations Officer. And he's assigned to the NORAD U.S. NORCON Command Center's Chief Standardization and Evaluations Branch, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado. He is a combat comm squadron by trade, if you will. And what's important is just the vital skill set that he brings to the global war on terrorism. He's had to deploy once to Afghanistan. He's been a squadron commander twice, multiple staff tours, MASHCOM, Air Staff, and Combat Command levels. He's got a master's degree from AFIT, is the Air Force Institute of Technology, there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio, in Computer Systems and Software Engineering, and from the National Defense Intelligence College in Strategic Intelligence. On the side, he's an assistant scoutmaster. Big thing, what he's done here in the last year is as a standardization and evaluation officer, he's standardized procedures across five crews. So folks need to understand that that the NORAD NORCOM Command Center is 24/7, and there is crews that man positions in that command center 24/7 with specific skill sets. He's in charge of making sure the standardization is seamless across the board. And he was handpicked to do what we call general officer assessor training, which General Hoover and General Coates have done, and takes them through missile events, scenarios, if you will, both in the air and space regime. So well done. Congratulations. And the presentation of the award now will be with Major General Coates and Ricky.
First,
you can. Yep.
All right. I don't know. We're gonna. Let's move out this way so you can get some good pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Come on to this side. We're gonna surround you. There we go. We're gonna surround you. No. The Olympics of missile defense. Is that a little mine?
So a nice coin and.
Well done.
Wait, we
got to
get a picture here.
All right,
that's good.
Okay, one more little gift here for you. It's a 49 jersey.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay.
Can we have a picture?
Can I hold this up?
Yeah,
yep.
No,
you got it.
Wow. So, Mayor Southers, generals, other distinguished guests here tonight, thank you for being here tonight. First and foremost, I want to thank my supervisors, Colonel Brown, who couldn't be here, Colonel Timmons, who's sitting over here at my table. Thank you for thinking of me and putting me in for this award. It means a lot. I want to say thank you to Ricky and the rest of the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance team. This is an incredible honor for me. You heard when they were reading off my bio, I'm a cyber guy by trade. I am not a missile and space guy. And so, but when I got here, they said, hey, we really need you to be a missile and space guy. So I did everything that I could to learn the trade, and I will tell you that I have enjoyed every minute of it. This is by far the coolest job that I've ever had in my 21 years of being in the military. You know, and that sounds kind of weird to be on a staff tour and say that's your coolest job ever, but I will tell you that when I interact with people from the community and tell them what I do, that I monitor the skies for missile threats to the homeland and making sure that we can defend North America. It is amazing to see their eyes light up and you know, they're really amazed at how cool that mission is. And it really is cool. It is really really an honor to get to do that. Ricky, again, thanks for the work that you guys do, because, you know, growing up in the 80s, a few of you are almost as old as I am, you know, growing up in the 80s, it was a big deal. The threat was a big deal in the Cold War. Now, in this day and age, it is just as important, if not more, than it was back then. So thank you very much for the work that you're doing to advocate on behalf of the military, U.S. NORTHCOM and NORAD, as we continue to try to defend the skies against the threats to the homeland. Because without your help, we likely would not get all the toys that we need to make that happen. And so it's really, really appreciated very much by the people that do that every day. So thank you very much. I appreciate this honor that that's been bestowed on me tonight. Thanks so much.
Okay, one of the things that goes on here with Ricky is a football.
No, Tim, you gotta get over there. Yeah, you're not getting close. No, over there. So ladies and gentlemen, this is a tradition that we've done for 10 years. We treat this as a family, as a team. And when you play a game and you win, within the team, you choose the game changer. The game changer gets the game ball. This is a game ball. And it's not what the press and outside of our little team here, because they all, they like the offensive guys a lot on the outside. This is for you being a game changer. This is going to be a ballistic trajectory.
Probably as good as the Koreans, because it's going to be everywhere. And it's a tradition, so congratulations, all right? And by the way, Tim is a Boomer Sooner, and I know they don't catch football when they play Oklahoma.
That was a catch and a half there, young man. So now I'd like to introduce the NORAD Non-Commissioned Officer Award. So Technical Sergeant Michael Benson, front and center, please. Yep. So on behalf of Tech Sergeant Benson, Tinker Schwab will accept the award.
He just wants another football.
He does. He does. So just a little bit about Technical Sergeant Benson. He's a space system operator assigned to NORAD, U.S. NORTHCOM Command Center, and as the Missile and Space Domain NCO Senior Evaluator at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado. Tremendous background as an NCO, non-commissioned officers are the core competency of our military. Us officers at times screw things up, and our NCOs have to pick up the pieces. So, well done. He's a four-time NCOIC. Two-time section chiefs, flight chief, as well as tours in the Joint Space Operations Center, and his current assignment at NORAD U.S. NORCOM. This past year, Sergeant Benson's expert knowledge of missile warning procedures and systems branded him as the command's subject matter expert. He was trusted with authoring two North Korean missile launch reports for the commander. And he was selected to train 7 command center directors, CCDs, and 9 general officer assessors through missile event characterization, leading to national level attack assessor certification to the SECDEF, Secretary of Defense. Very well done. So, that being said, we'll present the award to Tech Sergeant Benson on behalf of Lieutenant Colonel Schwab by the 3 generals.
3 goobers.
Yep.
I'm not going to put it around your neck again.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Maybe we
want
to make a
video
of this.
Yes, sir.
We should.
Do something down in the ATC.
Absolutely. We should. Sir, thanks.
Okay, here's his coin.
Don't be
putting this as an Oklahoma jersey. That's a foreign.
Well, it is red and white.
I know. Now, are you going to catch the ball for him, or is he going to give it to you?
We'll just give it to you.
I will, yes.
Okay, so I am honored to accept the award on Mike Benson's behalf. I've known Mike since I got to NORAD NORTHCOM. We arrived at about the same time. We were in the same qualification training class, learning how to be missile and space domain folks, standing the watch every day. And Mike is a true professional. He He made an impression on me from day one. He's a space professional from the very beginning. You heard his bio there. He's been at a radar site working that. He's been at the Joint Space Operations Center working space surveillance, and now at NORAD NORTHCOM doing missile warning there. I could talk about Mike all day, all the great things that he's done. But I will tell you that as a cyber guy who's trying to learn the business, Mike is the guy that I go to when I've got hard questions about the architecture, when I've got hard questions about what are the capabilities of our systems, and he has an answer every time. Mike was chosen to be an evaluator only 8 months after being certified to even sit the watch at all. And then he was just recently selected to be the senior evaluator for the NCOs in the missile and space domain. He's the only person in recent memory that has been what we call exceptionally qualified. That means that he got 100% on both of his tests that he had to take, and he had zero errors during his evaluation. If any of you have sat crew before or flown airplanes and you have to go through an evaluation, you know that those things are stressful things, and it's hard to get through there without any errors at all, but Mike did it. And that just shows the level of competence that he has. There's nobody better for this award, and so I'm really happy to accept on his behalf. I wish he could have been here tonight to accept it for himself, but as General Coates said, we'll make a big deal of this back down in the current operations center when he's back in the area. So thanks for letting me accept on his behalf tonight.
So now I will introduce Lieutenant General Hoover, Deputy Commander, U.S. Northern Command. Lieutenant General Hoover is a West Point graduate.
Whoops. Come on.
And initially was commissioned as a military police officer, and then rapidly rose through the ranks of expertise as an explosive ordnance disposal officer. He then joined the Alabama Air National Guard, where he subsequently commanded detachment, battalion, task force, and group levels. He deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom, where he was a joint sustainment command in Kandahar, Afghanistan, and he commanded the 167th Theater Sustainment Command from 2011 to 2014, but it continues. He served as the Chief of Staff for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and was appointed Special Assistant to the President for Homeland Security in 2005. In addition, he served as a Senior Director for Nuclear Defense and Continuity Policy, National Security Council. From 2014 to 2016, General Hoover was the National Guard Bureau Director of Intelligence and Director of Command, Control, and Communications. In this dual capacity, he provided strategic guidance, intelligence, and C4 policy to the Chief of the National Guard Bureau, who most recently is now part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as a four-star general. And during that transition, General Hoover was providing guidance to the four-star. Prior to General Hoover's current position as Deputy Commander, U.S. NORTHCOM, he served as a mobilization assistant to the Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Quite the roll-up, but it continues. General Hoover achieved a Juris Doctorate from Catholic University of America's Columbus Law School and is a graduate of Harvard University's National International Seminar. Sir, welcome. Thank you for being here. Lieutenant General Hoover.
Holy cow. Well, my Italian mother will believe all of that and tell you more, especially if you go to Daytona Beach at the airport. She's the ambassador there at the airport. So she's 80. She'll be 89 in November. So don't tell her you have a military connection. You'll be there for another hour. So you miss your flight. The one thing that was left out and of my bio that I did want to share, it's not on the bio, so you didn't miss it. It was recently declassified, actually, and that is I was the Easter Bunny on the South Lawn of the White House during the Bush administration, before Sean Spicer was. I'll just put that out. You know, what a great day to be in the Army, to be here at NORAD and NORTHCOM, and I think General Coates, the hazard of going second is you got to figure out what the guy in front of you is going to say. And I think, you know, General Coates, not only representing our Canadian partners at the command, but being here as part of a joint effort tonight and our two commands, I think he's kind of said it all. So I just have a few things I want to say. I will just also kind of highlight that I have a 17-year-old, and we're getting ready to take him up to West Point for the summer leadership program here this summer. And I was helping him with his AP history, world history, just a few weeks ago. And we were talking about Julius Caesar. And I was reminded that Julius Caesar was a great general and then became a politician afterwards. And he gave very long speeches. And after one of those long speeches, they killed him. So I'm very mindful of that, and I'll be short this evening. So, Mayor Sutherland, thank you so much for all that you've done here in the community to support our military men and women in uniform. The Military Affairs Committee of the Chamber of Commerce has made an Army guy feel welcome in an Air Force town, which we were never able to beat Air Force when I was a cadet at West Point. But thank you for all that you've done, and the community here continues to do in support of all that we do. So thanks for that. I do want to say thanks to the Color Guard, and if you'll just join me in a round of applause, that was awesome. I think the band is gone, so there's no dancing. Oh, the band is still here, so let's give them a round of applause. That's great. I don't know if there's dancing. I got a thing that there's like after party or something. So I don't know if you guys got that briefing or not. But Ricky, thank you so much. It was great to sit down and chat with you a little bit about MDA and all the work that you all do. It really is an important part of keeping our world safe when we think about ballistic missile defense. And what more appropriate time tonight to really talk about ballistic missile defense and the work that the MDAA has done. As we celebrate, really, on the heels of our most successful intercept that we've done. So let's give a round of applause to everybody that was behind that effort. General Robinson and I were down in the N2C2 as it was going down. So while you were down there at Vandenberg, we were in the N2C2 and watching it and keeping our fingers crossed. And, of course, she has weapons release authority, and so she was kind of doing that piece of it. And I was doing the assessor piece, and it was just really a great thing to watch. And so I really do appreciate, you know, all the work that you all do. So thank you so much. You know, I think when we think about the 4+1 threat that you were talking about earlier, you know, we think about Russia, who's now become a strategic near-peer competitor of ours, and the advances that they're doing in cruise missiles, where now Russia has the capability of staying in Russian sovereign territory and holding targets at risk here in the United States and in Canada and the homeland. When you think about China, as they expand their capabilities in their intercontinental ballistic missile programs to road mobile ICBMs, and now expanding their missile capabilities at sea as well to hold targets at risk here in the homeland. When you think about Iran and what Iran is doing in their space program, and as they continue to try to develop their intercontinental ballistic missile capabilities that, again, can hold us at risk here in the homeland one day. And then finally, when you think about KJU, I mean, what can you say? the rhetoric that comes out of North Korea, combined with their continued pursuit of nuclear weapons development, as well as their continued pursuit of ballistic missile technology, is really the threat of the day. And people say, what keeps us up at night? And I think General Robinson will say, and I certainly say, it is North Korea. They pose a grave threat to the United States. And because of the work that MDAA has done to highlight the efforts and the need for ballistic missile capabilities around the world, with not only here in the United States and the homeland, but with our allies as well, to make the world safe, it really is a tribute to helping us stand the watch every day at the NORAD and NORTHCOM side of the business. And, you know, I do think that it's a little bit ironic for a guy like me to have weapons release authority when I barely understood circular error probable when I was a cadet at West Point. In fact, I think I might have failed that course. And now here I am, the guy with the finger on the switch. But I will say that it is a team sport. And I am so thankful that the nominees and awardees tonight are on my team, because they're the ones that really helped me, you know, a guy that was on the back end of the curve when he was graduating from the academy, to do the stuff that we need to do as a general officer, both as an assessor and on our ballistic missile homeland defense. So I would just ask you to just join me in a round of applause for all the nominees and awardees tonight. So let me just close here and just say that, you know, our ballistic missile defense is a capability that is wholly formidable against any adversary. Our nation is safer, our communities are stronger, our command at NORAD and NORTHCOM is stronger because of the work that MDAA has done for America and our allies. And so, Ricky, again, I thank you for that. And so rest assured, because of the awardees tonight and the nominees, we have the watch and the nation is safe. Our homeland, both Canada and the United States, is safer. And so I thank you very much for all being here tonight to recognize all of the winners this evening. And on behalf of my boss, General Lori Robinson, thank you so much for being here and being a part of the ceremony. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. So now I'd like to introduce the U.S. NORTHCOM winner, Lieutenant Commander. I'm a joint officer here, I know that. Lieutenant Commander Don Allen. Lieutenant Commander Don Allen is assigned as the BMD Ballistic Missile Defense Education Operations Support Deputy Branch Chief, Ballistic Missile Defense Division, Director of Operations, United States Northern Command, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado. She was born in Artesia, New Mexico, but considers herself a Texan and was raised in Texas, i.e. Houston, Texas. She enlisted in the Navy in 1991 and performed duties as an aviation ordnanceman and a helicopter rescue swimmer. So before the event started tonight, I asked her about what it means to be a helicopter swimmer. It's worth having her explain that, but it's quite an athlete to do that and to be certified as that. She was commissioned in the United States Navy's Enlisted Commissioning Program and became a Surface Warfare Officer, a SWO, with nuclear power specialty. And those that know about the nuclear power program in the Navy, that is not a course for the faint. That is an extremely difficult course to get through, almost a year long. And its subsequent military assignments range from strike officer on guided missile destroyers during the shock and awe portion of Desert Storm 2 through executive officers of Nuclear Propulsion Examination Board, holy buckets, performing inspections of aircraft carriers and submarines throughout the fleet. In September 2015, she joined U.S. Northern Commander staff as the BIOS Deputy Branch Chief and Missile Defense Officer. Importantly, this stellar officer is going to continue. And in July, Lieutenant Commander Allen will depart U.S. Northern Command to head to her command tour aboard the USS Chung Hoon DDG 93 operating out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Congratulations, Don. So, well done. Time for the presentation of the award. Please, front table.
You should probably get your cameras out if you want a YouTube video of somebody not catching a football.
That's why we did the speech first.
Oh boy, I'm going to skip that because it's too tall for me. So thank you to all the visitors here. I plan to give my Oscar thank you speech, but I've decided instead to talk about what MDAA really can do, because I came here after 24 years in the Navy, and I knew the SWO side, like Aegis ships shoot missiles. We're awesome. And then I went through a bunch of sea duties, and I got to my last shore duty, which is shore duty means that you're supposed to be on land. And I was gone all the time on submarines and aircraft carriers. So then Colorado pops up on my slate, and I'm like, there's no water in Colorado. So I'm in good shape. I'm taking that job. No idea what a missile defense officer was. It said MDO on my orders, and I was like, it's not near ocean. Check. And I took it. And I get here, and there is nothing more humbling than coming into a job where you know nothing, and you have to take it all on quickly. And then even more humbling, all of our families are held at risk, and we're the people who keep them safe. Like, when I sit in that chair, that's my job. Now imagine going to work every day and feeling that important. Like, that's what we do every day. It's amazing. And I'm going to transfer in July. I've said that. I'm the standards and evaluations person, so the equivalent of what Tim does for missile defense officers. And I can tell you that we at NORTHCOM, the group of professionals that I work with, any one of them could be standing here. They're amazing, amazing people. And you should sleep safer at night because we're here. Because they're amazing. The people that I work with will take your breath away. And I'd like to thank you, because you're an advocate out there. I had 24 years in the Navy, and I didn't know the importance of the ground-based missile defense system that protects our homeland. And if I've got all this military experience and I don't know, we need people like you getting the word out. Because when I got here, my growth curve was exponential, right? I got here and I was like, I've got to do what and talk to who? But it all works out in the end. And it turns out that this was probably the most humbling tour that I've had. Because again, when I wake up every morning, I go to work to save our homeland. Like, that's an awesome job. I've done left of center my whole career, but this is us. This is where we're sitting right now. And I want to say thank you to you, and thank you to everybody who came, but mostly thank you to all the people who will sustain the watch, because they're amazing.
If I get it over, man, you're stretching it. You're stretching it.
Nice catch. So now I'd like to introduce the U.S. NORTHCOM Civilian Award nominees. First nominee, Mr. Scott Gerhardt. He's a government civilian at U.S. Northern Command. He's the Future Operations Ballistic Missile Specialist in J-31. For the past 7 years, he's planned and executed numerous missile defense operations supporting U.S. NORTHCOM. And then prior to his current position, Mr. Gerhardt supported U.S. NORTHCOM J-5 as BMD Policy and Strategy Specialist. He's a plank holder. And what that means is he's been around since the inception of U.S. NORTHCOM, i.e. 2003. Prior to his employment at U.S. NORTHCOM, Mr. Gerhardt served in the U.S. Army for over 20 years, retired in 2003, and he was a field artilleryman. He instructed command positions in all weapon systems, ranging from Pershing missiles, 105mm, 155mm, and 8-inch howitzers. Duty locations include Fort Sill, Fort Campbell, Fort Drum, and Deutschland, Germany. His education included a bachelor's degree from Youngstown State and master's from Central Michigan. So obviously extremely well-versed, well-rounded plank holder, been there, done that. Scott also, in the last year, was part of the North Korea provocation cycle analysis and continues to posture to defend the homeland by providing clear and concise readiness decision points for the U.S. NORTHCOM commander and deputy commander. Well done, Scott. Our second nominee is Mr. John Machowski, government civilian. He's a senior program analyst assigned to NORAD and U.S. NORTHCOM Programming and Analysis Division of the Requirements Analysis and Resources Directorate. He obtained a master's degree in mechanical engineering from Colorado State. He has served 21 years in various assignments and operations and acquisition jobs, working in the space and missile career fields, supporting Evolved Expendable Launch Vehicle, EELV, and Air Force Satellite Control Network Systems, operating several satellite systems, defense support programs, and mid-course space experiment and global positioning system. He worked in the Office of Secretary of Defense and 2 Combatant Command Joint Tours. Upon retirement, he worked as an analyst supporting U.S. and NORAD and U.S. NORTHCOM, and he works to ensure the command's warfighting needs are met and funded in the defense budgets. Well done, John. And in the last year, he successfully advocated for over $192 million in additional funding required to operate and sustain the nation's most important missile defense radars, and to thwart enterprise efforts to prematurely inactivate the Cobra Dane radar, which is a vital radar that we have right now for over the horizon. So well done, John. And the winner is Mr. Scott Gerhardt.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. floor's mine. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I'll stand in front of the microphone. So having grown up in the 80s, a while ago, actually, yeah. Truly honored. Thank you very much for all the honored guests here. Really appreciate you stopping by and honoring the folks that are here tonight. And I'm truly honored that you're here. So thank you very much. You know, 15 years ago when I retired, haven't been to a ceremony like this in probably about 15 years. So quite frankly, I'm touched, flattered. You can tell the quivering in my voice. but yeah, I certainly appreciate the honor. And, you know, it's not about me, right? It's about the folks I work for. Steve, Don, Dan. Yep, there he is. Mark. Oh, yeah. And several other folks that I've worked with over the years. And, you know, one thing that stands in my mind, and I always tell my kids, you know, the motor pool, 1983, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Sergeant First Class Tommy Mann walked up to me and said, "Sir, I'm your platoon sergeant." I said, "Hey, great. You know, I'm a second lieutenant." And he said, "Sir, let me tell you the success to any lieutenant, any officer at that time." He said, "Hey, sir, if you give a fill in a blank, you'll be successful." And that sticks with me today. And I try to take that with my job today, with my kids, with my family, and anybody I touch. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, wow, he's serious.
So we got a few more footballs here left, so the pressure will continue. So now I'd like to introduce the Missile Defense Career Achievement winner, Mr. Mark McClintock. Mr. McClintock is the training analyst assigned to the BMD Education and Operations Support Branch, Ballistic Missile Division, Director of Operations, United States Northern Command, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado. He enlisted in the Air Force in 1979 and served 24 years as Command and Control Specialist and Superintendent, retiring as a Senior Master Sergeant in 2003. Congratulations. His final assignment on active duty was a superintendent of the Cheyenne Mountain Operations Center, a NORAD crew member on 9/11/2001, and he is again a plank holder for the creation of U.S. NORCOM in 2003. He authored the original initial and recurring missile defense training programs for watch standards and was instrumental in the creation of initial tactics, techniques, and procedures used for missile defense. Mark, congratulations, front and center.
So there's that camera and this camera. I'm not sure which one. This is the more important one.
Good, you got him.
Well done.
get to talk.
For the pass, man.
I get to talk now.
You get to talk in the rear.
Then I catch a pass. I hope. All right. So I want to first thank General Hoover, General Coates, General Brommel, General Buckley, all these generals, lots of generals in here. Mr. Allen, thank you. I know you had something to do with this. And my boss, Dan Vannucci, who's always supporting me. So funny story is I was on vacation, leave for you military people, a couple of weeks ago, and I get this funny email. Actually, it might have been a text. It was an email from Dan. And he's like, oh, we're putting you in for this award. I think he used the term lifetime achievement, and then later career achievement award. I said, oh, that's nice. And I went, ooh, is my career over? What happened? Is this part of a severance package? So apparently it wasn't. So I'm still employed. I've worked for the Air Force in one capacity or another for 38 years. It's been quite a wild ride. Yeah, and as Scott intimated a few minutes ago, you know, when you retire, you don't get your PCS medal every two or three years. This kind of thing doesn't happen often. So it's kind of fun, and it's kind of interesting to be on the receiving end of a medal or any kind of award like this. Steve Allen and I worked on Cheyenne Mountain together in green zipper bags, and then we both transitioned to the civilian life. Within about a year of each other, and we've been working together ever since. It's been a lot of fun. We created this from the very beginning in 2004, and we've seen a lot of changes. And so it's been something else to see where we've went from a handful of interceptors and some makeshift procedures that we just kept reinventing. About every three or four days, we'd come up with a new way to do it. So we had to figure out how to do it quick. And Mr. Polowitzer here, he was one of our very first crew members up in the mountain. He remembers those pains that we put him through as a command center director. So it's been a lot of fun. We had a nice day with Ricky today. We went out and rode horses this morning on the Academy, but it's really just a ploy to get together and spend some time together. Force fun, as we used to say when I was on active duty. But it was fun, and we had a really good conversation. And like Dawn, we're very grateful for people that are out there advocating for what we do, because most civilians have no idea what we do. I'm not even sure my children completely understand what I do after 38 years. But we need people who can articulate that, who are energetic and enthusiastic about it, outside the people wearing uniforms and outside the federal employee ranks. And that's what guys like the MDAA and Ricky and all his folks are doing. And there's other people doing it too, but he's just a good example of those that are out there telling people our story, and we really appreciate it. So I thank you for this. It's what a great evening, what a great day, and career achievement, yes, but I hope I have some more career left, unless Dan knows something I don't know. Mr. Allen, I hope you're not keeping something from me. So, all right, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I got to catch a football.
Where are you going to go for a pass?
It's good enough.
Sure. Shove old. Don't throw too hard.
So now I get to introduce Ricky Ellison. But I got a few words. So I had the privilege of been known Ricky and his family since about 1999. And let me give you a couple of sound bites of Ricky. Dream big, big, big. If you can't turn it on, turn it up. And when I first met Ricky, it was at 4:45 in the morning, Water Park Towers. Bam, 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 bam. On my door. Hey, man, get your up, and we're going to go run on the Potomac River. And that was the start of a friendship, and Ricky has been like a big brother to me. He brought me into high schools to speak about what it is to be an Air Force fighter pilot. Brought me in. We started with his leadership the Youth Impact Program, formerly known as the National Football League Junior Player Development, in Alexandria, Virginia. And now this summer, we're up to 5 locations. First one, sir, we're bringing in Bronx and Queens people from New York to West Point. Lieutenant General McCaslin's leading a youth impact program at West Point. University of Michigan is leading a youth impact program for inner city kids in Detroit. University of Maryland's leading a program this summer for Washington, D.C. University of Hawaii is leading a program for those in Hawaii. And Northwestern is leading those, a Northwestern fan here, for inner city in Chicago. So Ricky is multidimensional. He's not just MDA. He's out making an impact in the inner city youth. And that has to do with his background, which is for the next time I get to the podium. But his background is the reason why he does what he does. So Ricky played for the 49ers, 3 Super Bowls. Okay, so Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, all those cats. He's got great stories. I got a story about Ricky in a second. And then went from the 49ers to the Raiders. And Ricky will tell you that the Raider locker room was led by Howie Long. And you see him every Sunday on TV. And I've got a story sometime for you to talk about Howie and The Rock. Ricky and his family, Red Ellison, just played 4 years with the Minnesota Vikings, number 85, tight end. He's about twice as big as Ricky and I, and about 6'5", 6'6", 270. He just signed with the New York Giants about 4 months ago. So watch the New York Giants this year, Red Ellison, tight end. So the Porsche story. I call it the Porsche story. This time I'll get it right. So Ricky lived in the Bay Area. And if you know San Francisco, to get to Oakland, he was playing for the Raiders now this time. You got to go over the bridge, the Bay Bridge. And he got over the Bay Bridge in his new Porsche. He signed with the Raiders, Al Davis, all that. And you could see the stadium. He had to get to the game. It was Sunday morning. And the traffic was jammed up big time. This is a true story. So Ricky pulled off on a side street along the curb, and there were some folks walking along the curb. Rolled down the window and said, "Hey, I'm Ricky Ellison. Here's the keys to my Porsche. I've got to run to the stadium about a mile away from here. Please park it, in about 3 hours over right here at the stadium, and thank you very much." So that's what Ricky did. Gets to the locker room. Howie and the lads are laughing. "Dude, your car is gone. It's parted out already. Never mind." So they played the game. I think they won. You guys won? You won? I think Ricky was player of the game. And his car was there at the player's entrance. So his car was there. But that just goes to show you how much faith, trust he has in folks. So MDA. No, let's take a seat. I got the podium right now. So MDA, when Ricky was at USC, and by the way, all his rings are displayed beyond that pillar back there. He had always been interested in missile defense. And he worked with a gentleman by the name of Bill Van Cleve, God rest his soul, who was part of the Reagan administration and Star Wars and ballistic missile defense. And then from then on, that helped him create what we call Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance. Ricky, over to you.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Cannon, that's called trust. That's what it's called when you give something to people that you don't know. It's trust. That's how you win. I want to thank you, Mayor, for joining us, generals, for joining us. You've elevated the level of recognition. This is about the winners. They're winners. And this has been a great evening to elevate that. Cannon, as he pointed out, I've known him since he was a little pilot struggled out that door. He doesn't like, you know, he's a Chair Force guy. Doesn't like that cold weather out there running on the ice cold water. But Cannon was with me in 1999, and I was working on the lead systems integrator for missile defense as we were looking at moving missile defense from North Dakota into Alaska with Senator Stevens and Senator Inouye. And in 2001, 9/11 happened, and I was brought in by Ron Kadish, who was the the MDA director, on Condoleezza Rice and J.D. Crouch, and they brought me in. And they said, listen, we're going to withdraw from the ABM treaty. And we know we have a population and a partisan tremendous issue with missile defense. And we need somebody, we need something to break that and to turn that momentum and that education and advocate for this program, because we're going to go forward with it. And that was the initiation of creating an organization in 2003 that Cannon was with me at the very beginning of that movement to where we are. But what Cannon doesn't tell you, and his biggest credit, was that he was the first football coach of my son, Red Olson, at T.C. Williams High School. And he was an oddball at that place, but he did a great job. So thank you, Cannon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a leadership development. This is what it really is, isn't it? It's a winner development. We're talking about winning. This is about winning. And not everybody's a winner. And we are celebrating winners. And that's what they are. And when you build a team, you have to have a culture of winners. And inside that team, you have to have superstars. You can't win without superstars. You can believe that. You can watch West Point, who have the best character guys in the world. Can't win without superstars. And they're hard to manage, but they can change the momentum of the enemy. They can change the game. So we're here tonight recognizing those winners tonight. We have done this winner development to 338 other winners from 15 different nations around the world over the past decade. You have a worldwide team of winners on air and missile defense across service and across nations. It's our team, and we have to win and continue to win. Now I want to talk about what happened on Tuesday, because Tuesday has changed the world. We're downplaying it a little bit here, but I'm not going to downplay it. Because the facts are, for the first time in the history of mankind, you in this room, whose mission is to protect the United States of America, shot down an ICBM missile with deployed operational capability. Never, ever done by anybody in the world. This changes the game. And you betcha our public are loving this, because they're scared. And the North Korean guy has been lighting it up. 50 plus intercepts past year. 5 nuclear tests. He's accelerated. And our public's concerned. You shut that down. You shut down the critics, the people, the naysayers, since all the way back in the 70s that thought missile defense was going to create an arms race. You shut that down. It is a tremendous feat. And it started here. So you look back in 1980, Governor Ronald Reagan came to your mountain. Northcom wasn't around then, but NORAD was around. He walked in there as a governor, looked at all our offensive capability, looked at the Russian threat, and asked our generals, where is it? Where's our defensibility to take down a nuclear missile? And they had no answer. I went to school on a football scholarship, and in 1980, I had an opportunity to get in the class of Dr. Bill Van Cleve, who was Governor Ronald Reagan's transition defense secretary. He had the concept there that we could take out kinetically an ICBM, nuclear. Had an opportunity to meet Edward Teller, who was the scientist that validated that concept to President Reagan. I played on some pretty damn good teams through that. And in 1983, I heard that speech that some of you in this room heard. And Ronald Reagan said, might take the next century, a lot of failures, a lot of resilience, but he believed in us, in you, to create a technology to defeat a nuclear ICBM missile. You did that on Tuesday. You did that. And it is phenomenal. And what was so cool, I was there with Major General Baumhall and his soldiers, your soldiers, at the Ronald Reagan Memorial viewing site that we built with Mrs. Nancy Reagan after her husband died in dedication for what he did in that message. And we watched that intercept from there. This has sent ripples of confidence to the entire world. It has prevented South Korea and Japan from going nuclear because they know we can protect ourselves and we can assure their deterrent. It is badass. And you've got an opportunity now with this great technology that's been proven and your command and what you do to go to the next level. Because we have a transition, we have a new president, we have a new look at where we're going. And you have some phenomenal players coming in. You have a Deputy Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan, that was the head of the GPI program for Boeing, is going to be the head of the $600 to $700 billion budget, receptive to what you do. You will have John Rood, who is a missile defender under George Bush, worked both on both Lockheed and Raytheon. He will become the Department of Defense head of policy. And you will have money and you will get change of policy. We are not going to stand by the 1999 policy of a limited defense against a limited threat that caps us in our technology and our acquisition. We are going to move to the next level. And you're going to see a Reagan-esque vision, I believe, in 6 months from now that's going to challenge our peers in space, in missile defense, and it's no longer going to be a linear problem. It is a cross-domain problem that we're going to attack. But it's you in this room that have to create the correct story, because you are in charge of the requirement not MDA, not PACOM, not your senators, not Congress, they can nickel and dime you. It is you that have to give us a clear indication of what you want to increase capacity and to increase your capability to defend this country. You have it all right now. We have changed the game. We have turned the momentum to our side, and you got to punish it now. Now you got to take the next level, and you got to use everything you got to be clear, work with General Robinson to lead this. You are the lead on this. And it's never been, we never had this opportunity for a long time. This country is under a ballistic nuclear threat for the first time since 1979. And you are the people in this room, and the people that we honor tonight are going to help lead that movement to make this world a safer place. You changed the world on Tuesday. You changed the world. You don't understand it. You might not hear it, nor see it, but that's the fact. And I congratulate you on that. We are 100% behind you. We want to keep pushing you out in front to do what you do best, and that is win. So let's go win a world championship. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ricky. One other thing Ricky would tell you is defense wins championships. And what he just indicated and passionately, and his teams that he played for and the around the league and the NFL, they would say there was no more passionate and intense person than Ricky Ellison. So thanks, Ricky. That concludes today's festivities here. We'll post the colors in a second, and then after we're done, there'll be a photo op with all the award winners and the front head table. Oh, and then Ricky's worried about the flowers here. So flower-wise, please take the flowers before they get put in the trash in about an hour. So go ahead and take those. Okay, post colors.
I learned much
again, congratulations. Thank you very much for a great event.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we get all the awardees up to the front, please, for photo op. All the awardees up to the front for photo op. Thank you.
What do you want? Here?
That way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
You hover around Ricky.
Good one.
Yeah, I can move this. Wording as well.
Okay. Great.
If it was going, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah, just contact me. I'm really quick on you.
All right.
So I think he had some.
Oh, good. Oh, you're here, y'all?
Yeah.
Thank you. just put it in the work and put it away.
No.
I'm going to go to the next one.